Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Tuesday. Keith Bullock, Titans legend. He is, of course, part of our Jeff Fisher bracket, our Jeff Fisher region, our Nashville sports bracket is out on Twitter. You can make your votes, cast your votes today, and by 9 o'clock tonight, we will have the first round results of that. K-Bull going up against Ingle Martin. Keith Bullock, the 3 seed versus Ingle Martin, the 14 seed. We say hello to Emery Hunt with a football game plan. Does a good talent evaluator as we sit here. Tomorrow will be April, and we're going into the month where the NFL will indeed conduct their draft. Emery, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We're seeing reports out there that the Dolphins, you know, they've got a lot of draft capital. They've got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds, 3 first-round picks, and they desperately need a franchise quarterback with that 5th pick, but they may be eyeing that first pick to guarantee they get their guy. One, let me just start with, do you think they have identified who they want to be their guy for the next decade or so?
You know, that's interesting. I don't know if they've identified that just yet. They may have an idea. They may have narrowed it down. But I'm of the mindset to where if you're the Dolphins and you have 3 first-round picks, 3 premium picks to go along with what you've already done in the offseason, they've really stockpiled that roster. Why would you not go and see how healthy Cam Newton is? That way you can solve your quarterback problem and then use those 3 premier first-round picks to continue to add youthful, cheap, explosive talent around your new franchise quarterback.
Interesting. Why don't you think Cam Newton? Is it just the uncertainty because we're not conducting business as normal? Is it just because of the health concerns?
I think so, and I think that's why it's important for him. You know, he's posting these videos, but we need to see these videos start showing him dropping back, throwing the football. Right now you're seeing him working out, which is fine. You can do that. But I guess for teams to feel comfortable, they need to see if he can move around, throw, and how healthy that shoulder and how healthy that foot is. If he can start showing those, and if this was a normal, off season, he probably would have been signed already. But if he can start to show those things, I think teams would be more inclined to go with him because a healthy Cam Newton is the best quarterback right now in the draft and on the free agency market.
So do this for us, Emery. Tell us, in your opinion, how would you rank the 4 quarterbacks that are projected to go high in this year's draft? Well, you got Tua, you've got Burrow, and let's throw Jordan Love and Justin Herbert in there, who everybody suspects they're going to go first round to. Rank them 1 through 4 in your opinion, and maybe tell us why whoever you have, number one, why.
Well, right now in my draft rankings, I have Joe Burrow 1, Jalen Hurts 2, Tua Tagovailoa 3, and at number 4, I actually have Tyler Huntley out of Utah. I think he's one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the draft class, and playing pro ball is always about efficiency, and he does a good job in doing that. But, you know, Burrow to me, he reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan. He has a lot of those tangible traits that you can see. Obviously, the accuracy, the touch, the anticipation, but the intangible stuff, how tough he is versus pressure, how he's willing to not let a play die and try to find a way to make a play. You like that about him. He makes those receptions easy for receivers. So I think right now he's my number one. And Hurts is my number two because people love to ignore the growth he had in college. From, first of all, he led his team as a freshman to the national title game, then got humbled by getting benched and didn't transfer out, stayed, worked on his craft, and when he got into the game, and throughout that season, you saw growth in his game that he was trying specifically to be a passer. They needed him to be that against Georgia in the title game. Then you see him go on short notice to Oklahoma, learn that offense in a summer, not a spring, but a summer, a spring and a summer, but then go out there and then you know, win that job and become a Heisman finalist and look even better than he did at Alabama in that short stint of improving as a passer. So his arrow is pointing upwards, and we know about those intangible things, his leadership, his willingness to find a way to make plays, his situational football awareness is key, and the fact that he's able to do all that and have been dominant at two separate blue blood programs, how could you not want Jalen Hurts to quarterback your football team?
Interesting. So we had, I know you know Teron Davenport well. We had TD on our show yesterday, and it actually sparked this discussion after we got off the phone with him about Jalen Hurts. And so we had a pretty spirited debate about Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, you kind of went through it, but, I mean, I think anybody who talks to Jalen Hurts is going to fall in love with him. He's going to check off all the boxes when it comes to, you know, being a leader, saying the right things, doing the right things, a well-put-together young man. But I guess my questions are, and he's got, we know his legs. We know he is a threat when he takes off running. But I guess my biggest concern is accuracy at the next level, arm strength at the next level. Can he make the throws necessary in the NFL week in and week out? I see him more as a backup than a starter, so tell me why I'm wrong.
Because he's done all those things that you said he can't do, or he hadn't shown he can do. Remember, this is a guy that, when you look, he reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott. When you looked at Dak Prescott as a freshman, as a sophomore, you saw Jalen Hurts as a freshman, as a sophomore. And where Prescott became Prescott was the jump from his junior season to his senior season, where you started to say, you know what? Prescott is not actually bad. And it was in that bowl game, the Citrus Bowl against NC State, where you started to see the same things about Jacoby Brissett. Like, man, these two quarterbacks are not that bad. They're actually looking pretty good. And we know Prescott goes down to the Senior Bowl and becomes the MVP of that game. You know, that's the game that had Carson Wentz in it. Everybody talked about that year, but Prescott was the best quarterback down there. You look at Jalen Hurts and what he brings to the table, and it was just this past season, you're like, okay, this will be the test for him to see how much he has progressed as a passer at Oklahoma, because we know they throw the football, and you're going to see a lot of coverage in the Big 12, more so than you're going to see in the SEC. So how he handles that situation will be interesting. And so we saw him pass that test, and we saw him be battle-tested in games where they were down, but they came back and won. You think about the Baylor game when he came back and led his team to a victory. We hadn't seen that from Justin Herbert. We hadn't seen that from Jordan Love. We hadn't seen that from Jake Fromm. We saw that from Jalen Hurts time and time again. Remember, if it wasn't for Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson, he drove that team down the field and gave them the go-ahead point with a minute 20 seconds left in that ball game against Clemson as a freshman. So we've seen Hurts do it on the big scale constantly. We haven't seen that from Hurts. We haven't seen that from Fromm. We haven't seen that from Jordan Love. Hurts is battle-tested, and I think he's more ready to go right now. And I hadn't even talked about his ability to run the football.
We're talking to Emory Hunt, football game plan. So looking at the Tennessee Titans, they'll be picking with the 29th overall pick. And in my mind, Emory, there are several directions they could go there. They could go pass rush, you know, for edge. They could go cornerback. Those are probably the top two, and then maybe even offensive line. So when you look at the Titans and their needs, what they've done in free agency, in your opinion, what position do you think they need to address with that 29th overall pick?
That's a great question, because – like you said, they have a lot of ways they can go. But I'm probably more inclined to look at the defense and, you know, see, okay, well, if they are adding Vic Beasley and they have a guy in Derek Robinson already that can bring some power, some pop off the edge, I'm sorry, cornerback will probably be one area where they can address. So I think I would go cornerback. You look at guys that can not only attack the ball but take the ball away. I like Damon Arnette out of Ohio State. I'm a big Amik Robertson fan out of Louisiana Tech. You know, you look at Jalen Johnson out of Utah, guys that can get out there and play physical. You want a bigger corner. Reggie Robinson II out of Tulsa is a guy that no one is talking about that I think is going to go real high in the draft, maybe like in the second round, but he's a good player. So I would say cornerback, but if they want to go D-line, you know, A.J. Epenesa I think is going to be a guy that'll be there when the Titans pick. So they have a lot of options here that can help this football team on the defense side of football at pick 29, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and some other areas that I look, you know, as you get later in the draft that I could see them addressing, and I know this sounds crazy because you look at the season that A.J. Brown had, but I still could see wide receiver being an option, and I really like this draft class for wide receiver if you're the Titans and you're looking at some depth players or somebody that you can develop at the receiver position, who are some standouts for you?
Listen, you look at a guy that probably would be a perfect fit with what they already have on the roster. I like KJ Hamler out of Penn State. And when you look at how explosive he is in his route, tracking the football, and also after the catch, he's instant offense. So as a third option in this passing game, I think he'd be fantastic. He also brings the added benefit of helping you strengthen your special teams unit. I know you have Khalid Raymond out there as one of the better returners in the game right now. He's been very productive for Tennessee, but Hamler is a guy that can definitely increase that and enhance that. And I think for him, as a slot guy, it would be great if you want to go bigger slot guy. I like Brian Edwards out of South Carolina. I think people are not giving him enough credit for his ability as a catch and run guy. He can play inside or out, so you get a big receiver that can catch and run, and one that's going to probably fall because he's coming off of that foot injury. So I look at Hamler and Brian Edwards out of South Carolina as two guys that are really good players that could be perfect fits for what the Titans do offensively.
They obviously are going to have Derrick Henry back, whether it's on the franchise tag or a long-term deal, but then they don't really have anything behind him. Again, you look at the depth in this draft, there are some running backs that stand out to me that I think will be available to the Titans. Who are some running backs that you like?
I like A.J. Dillon. And to me, he's cut from the same cloth as Derrick Henry. A guy that I've gone to about 4 or 5 Boston College games live during my scouting season because they always have something that works with my broadcast schedule. They always have a Friday night game or a Thursday night game, so I'm able to get up to Chestnut Hill, watch a game, and get back down to where I need to be for my Saturday broadcast. So I've seen a lot of A.J. Dillon. And the first couple of seasons, I'm like, this guy runs into too much contact. This past season, I was at the Kansas game, and I came away impressed with how much shifty he looked this year. He added a little bit more shiftiness to his game. In addition to the power, he's 250, and he has that build-up speed like Henry does, where you think, okay, this is a 250-pound back, I can run him down. But he's pulling away from defensive backs and players in the secondary. So I think Dillon would give them that powerful back that can also pick up chunk plays on the ground if you want to spell Henry. I think when you look at Dillon and what he brings to the table, same skill set, similar skill set, same type of powerful back with speed would be a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield.
We're talking to Emory Hunt. You can follow him on Twitter, FBallGamePlan, and he has some great things on his website, footballgameplan.com, including talking ball with the Czar. Emory, I want to ask you about another running back that, of course, played here in Nashville. And, obviously, playing at Vanderbilt, he didn't win a whole lot of games, but when he was out there, but he had some great games. I've watched Vanderbilt football for a long time, but Keyshawn Vaughn appears to be a pretty unique talent. I'm just curious what you see from him and where do you think he might fall?
I like Keyshawn Vaughn. I think when you look at what he does well, he is one that is not afraid of contact. I tell you that. That can be both a good and bad thing. You sort of want him to start adding a little bit of avoidance to his game, to put it nicely, because you can't keep running into, defensive players, man. That stuff, it wears you down. But you like how consistent he was at Vanderbilt. I think him catching the football is an underrated part of his game. And, I think when he is using a passing game, he is more like he's not your standard meets expectations back with your swing, your screens, your flares, and flats. You expect him to do that as a running back. But he can be used in a downfield passing game. I like how he's able to catch the ball over his shoulder, how he's comfortable catching away from his body. He understands pass pro, so the effort is there in the blocking department, so you can trust him out there on third down. So I think that part of his game yields itself to him being a very productive pro for a very long time.
Emory, before we let you go, there's a lot of people, of course, that compile information and analysis getting ready for a draft. I'm curious how you do it, because I think I always appreciate guys that really know how to evaluate tape and know what they're looking for. So give us your background on how you put together all your info.
Absolutely. Well, I utilize my playing background. Obviously, I played at running back at the University of Louisiana. Wow, it's 20 years ago. So I feel old, but I coached ball before. I coached high school ball right after I got out of college. And I used those two experiences, plus the being a broadcaster and doing my own scouting stuff, is how I formulated my whole process. So I watched three games of a prospect, their best game, their worst game, and their most intriguing matchup, and get a good 360 view of what they possibly do. For, in my opinion, anything outside of those three games, maybe even four games if you're still unsure, you're starting to see what you want to see. So you kind of keep it limited to where you don't get influenced by, okay, I want to see this guy run fast. You watch a lot of games, you're going to make yourself see him run fast. So that's how I formulate the process. And, every draft season we go through 700 prospects. Right now I have my draft guide out, so people can go get that at footballgameplan.com/2020draft guide. Over 650 prospects, 689 to be exact. You have individual scouting reports where we go through everything that a prospect does well. We show you the games that we watch. We talk about his areas of improvement. And if there's a comp to be made, we make a comp. But we rank over 650 guys out there, and that's just the entirety of my process. My draft process doesn't start until January when I go down to the College Gridiron Showcase, then from that to the Tropical Bowl, then to the Shrine Bowl, then the Senior Bowl. And then I use that information to go back to the studio and break down film all February before I start releasing my grade. So January and 2 weeks into February, I'm watching film, evaluating prospects, and then I'm rolling it out for the viewers, for the fans, and people to get a get a good gauge of what I think about these players. And this was the first year we put out a draft. I put all those notes out there on paper.
Emory, last thing. Everybody's praising this wide receiver class that's going to be available in the draft at in April. Is there an elite number one, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, all the guys that we identify as elite number ones in the league, the stud receivers? Is there a stud coming out of this draft class, or just some really good wide receivers?
And that's one element of how I break down my receivers. I break them down to split ends, slot, flankers, and inside receivers. And right now, there's a stud at split end. That's Henry Ruggs. I really like. He graded out the best at split ends. Flankers, C.D. Lamb, graded out high, number one in that area. Slot, I'm a Jerry Jeudy guy, graded out really high there. And inside receiver, we talked about Brian Hepworth. So it all depends on what you're looking for. Last year I had, I want to say, six players rated 80 or above. And to me, if you're hitting 80, you're a first-round type talent. I would feel comfortable taking you in the first round. This year I have nine guys that hit that 80 or above mark. So it's a really deep class, like they say, but you'll find the top-end guys, like you mentioned, or you'll find guys that can fill in as your wide receiver three, wide receiver four, some core special teamers that are in this list as well. This is a great class to help stockpile your roster.
Where'd you have A.J. Brown last year, this time last year?
A.J. Brown was my number two slot receiver. So I had him in, I had a bigger inside receiver. I liked A.J. Brown. I thought he was a guy that, I didn't think he was the fastest, but I thought he could play that inside game. So I had him rated as my number two slot guy.
That's awesome. Hey, Emory, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Emory Hunt, you can find his work. A Football Game Plan is his website. You just heard it, a talent evaluator, and the NFL draft will be taking place in less than a month. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.